Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and here we go indeed. We've got Leader Stacey Abrams with us this afternoon to close out this show. We're so glad that you are all with us. Right before the break, we were talking about in these 10 steps to autocracy and authoritarianism, step three is weaken competing powers. This has been part of the Republican playbook when it comes to voting access and voting rights for 30 years. It has sort of reached fever pitch at this moment. And you have one of your passions, if I can say, has been voting rights and access to the voting booth. What should all people, regardless of party preference, be concerned about the particular ways that the MAGA regime has been eroding both trust and faith in election processes, but almost as importantly, if not more importantly, access, the actual franchise, the access to the voting booth and the right to vote itself?
So step three, you weaken competing powers. And step 10, you try to ensure that there are no future elections of import. So we have to remember that Russia has an election every few years, but we always know who's going to win. So they don't eliminate voting. They eliminate the power of the vote. And Republicans have been assiduously attacking the power of the vote for the last 30 years. Wisconsin was ground zero. When Wisconsin passed its voter ID law in 2014, you all faced a Supreme Court case where a Black woman was denied the right to vote because her ID did not come with an original birth certificate, but because she was born during the Jim Crow era, she was denied a compliant birth certificate. So when we hear the language of, oh, voter ID, no one disagrees that you should have ID. Everyone aggressively believes that you should have ID. The question is, what type of ID? What are the requirements for that ID? That's what's been weaponized. You talked about the specter of voter fraud, which is a complete and utter myth. There is no voter fraud. It is more likely that you will be struck by lightning because fraud means intent to pretend to do, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but put it this way. You are more likely to get struck by lightning than someone is to commit voter fraud in this country. We have an issue with voter participation, not voter fraud. But the larger narrative that we have to understand is that they do not want people to participate in elections. And if they do, they want to make it so difficult that it seems nearly impossible for it to matter. And the way I talk about voter suppression is, can you register and stay on the rolls? Can you cast a ballot? And does that ballot get counted? But what they're also the machinery they are also manipulating is what we're watching happen in Texas and now in Missouri, right. What they are trying to do in other states, which is they're trying to redraw the lines in the middle of the process so that they can't lose anymore. That's the voter manipulation that we need to watch. But we also have to recognize they're also trying to defund election security. They're trying to blackmail local governments. And so our responsibility is to demand access, not just to the ballot, but to the power of the vote. That when we vote for someone, that person should be the person who's actually elected to hold power.
Not just the vote itself, but the power of the vote, the import of the vote, because it stands for how we hold government accountable. Without the power behind the vote, I understand why people have felt disengaged. Absolutely. When that system works, it makes you feel disengaged, and that is its primary objective, so you stay home and nothing matters anymore. I want to briefly pivot with the time that we've got left. One of the Donald Trump sort of brand indicators is that he specifically targets individuals by name. He loves the nicknames. We can call him Little Hand Don, the Orange King, right? All of it. But he loves to give everybody nicknames, and he loves to attack individuals and to bring the power of the MAGA regime mob down on individuals. And in fact, in his pseudo State of the Union address after being sworn into office this very year, he name-checked Leader Abrams. Let's take a listen.
And much lesser things that take place in the home, they call.
$1.9 billion to recently created decarbonization of homes committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her?
Oh, I'll just say this, Leader Abrams, when the entire Republican caucus of the U.S. Congress boos, that is a huge personal accomplishment. So I'll say congratulations to you. This targeting of individuals, whether it's Mark Elias, the law firm he used to work for, going after Judge Dugan with a criminal prosecution, the selective prosecution of an LGBTQIA Lambda lawyer in Alabama. This individual intimidation is designed for a broader purpose. What is it?
So this is a combination of step 7 and step 8. So you scapegoat the marginalized, you scapegoat communities of color, you scapegoat women, you scapegoat the LGBTQIA plus community. You go after communities using DEI, which is why you watch this president and this administration and this party attack diversity, equity, and inclusion, because they are terrified that it actually works. And then you connect that to step 8, which is the civil society that protects all of us, the lawyers who fight for us, the universities who teach us, the philanthropies that invest in us, the protesters who speak up for us. But here's the thing. If you are the average white guy in Wisconsin who's trying to figure out why does DEI matter to you, I would point out that the very first act of DEI in this country was the Revolutionary War, when we decided that you didn't have to be a land-holding man, white man in this country to have purpose and meaning and a vote. We fought an entire war to guarantee that white men of every economic class could participate fully in this country. And from that, we grew the rest of DEI. And it has taken us 250 years, but it is in our DNA that diversity, equity, and inclusion be who we are, because it started with making sure that white men of every stripe had access to what they needed, and the rest of us simply want to be a part of it as well. This is not about taking from one to give to the other. It is about expanding access to opportunity, because we all deserve access to the American dream. And if we believe in DEI, then we are patriots. And if we don't, then we are denying who we are as a nation, and we are on the wrong track.
Because all of us deserve the opportunity to be successful in this country. It is in our DEA. I thank her with my biggest heart, Stacey Abrams, everybody. Thank you for being with me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.